Turn your Bibles with me once more to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and I'm reading verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Father, once again, we seek your help as we stand before your people with your word in our hands. No sermon is the same, and every time we stand, we need equal power, equal unction. And thus we beg for your help this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our title message is the Great Commission and the Church. The Great Commission and the Church. The Great Commission is recorded slightly different in Mark 16 and Luke 24, but they all relate to the same subject. When we read these words that I've just read, we often think that they are limited to outside evangelism, though the Great Commission is a command to the church to engage in this endeavor. The Great Commission is not to be carried out only outside the church, but within the church. It is the local church where we find elements that have not adhered to the principles set forth in the Great Commission. What are those necessary principles that are set forth in the Great Commission? Well, the scripture tells us, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And you and I know full well that within the local church, these principles have not been fully observed. And that is why, ever so often, I preach evangelistically and may be doing so until I leave for Zimbabwe. I will consider this passage in an exegetical format from three vantage points. One, the commission. Second, the application of the commission from the apostolic point of view. That's a long head, but that's it. The application of the commission. You want to leave it like that? Fine. But from the apostolic point of view. And three, the continuation of the Great Commission. That's what I really want to get to. The continuation of the Great Commission. And that's where the local church comes in. First, the commission. A commission, as you know, is an injunction or a command. Obviously, if there is a commission, there's a commissioner. If there is a command, there is a commander. A pastor is neither. the Lord Jesus is. He said, all authority is given unto me. Not the pastor. A pastor is an under-shepherd who seeks to fulfill that commission in the local church and elsewhere, or appoint men to take part in that great commission. This afternoon, I learned that Miguel can drive a stick shift. He didn't know the wheels were turning. When I heard he can drive a stick shift, and Colin, don't get jealous, I said, but you are material for Zimbabwe. You should think about it, brother. God can use different people in different ways, and sending them to drop people from point A to point B to hear the gospel. An under-shepherd seeks to fulfill, and he will fulfill, that commission. When I told Alan Dunn, Jim Dom, John Ruther, that we are considering a trip to Zimbabwe, they were elated. I should read the letters they sent me Tuesday night. Because they are eager to see the Great Commission fulfilled. And every under-shepherd is like that. Now, in considering this injunction exegetically, I want to share three parts quickly. A, the scope of the commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16:15 is more precise with the scope of the commission. Mark says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, humanly speaking, this is not probable, but it is a command. And the construction of this sentence is better read as you go, or as you are going into the world, preach the gospel. Because we are all going into the world. And as we are going, we should herald the gospel. This time I was able to speak to two of my school friends that I went to school with at primary school. Two. The first guy was a rebuke to me. He said, well, how come you never tell me you was a pastor? I was, so a sense, you know, here's what I believe. The other guy that I spoke to, Hendy, was telling me about church. And then I said, well, what about you? He said he was a Jehovah's Witness. I said, well, you are in a very bad state. And I outlined to him the bad state he was in. He said to me, Brian, we grew up together, and I know you are not going to tell me a lie. I went back to see him again with some gospel tracts and some contact numbers and how to get on the website to watch Brian speaking. I hope you're listening tonight, Handy. As you are going, go with the gospel. Brother Depo, when you go to Grenada, I encourage you, go with the gospel. Wherever people reside, God expects his church to be occupied with the Great Commission. And this is what I endeavor to do whenever I go, no matter how little I do. God give opportunities. And I seek to be prepared. I travel with sermons, a laptop, a printer. And my wife said, but where are you going with all these things? I thought you were going on vacation. Yes, I'm going on vacation, but I'm not vacating. And you must say, but you're going. No. As you are going, go with the gospel. The verse continues saying, by the way, I must interject that wherever you and I go, we have a mouth. And I wonder how many of you walk with a few gospel tracts in your pocket. I really wonder. I wonder how many of you walk with a couple CDs from sermons from this church. As you are going into the world, preach the gospel. The Great Commission is to the church. The verse 6 continues saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching comes before baptizing. Many are baptized and are not taught. Many are baptized and do not want to be taught. And this is a problem in the church. The baptizing is in the name of the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name means in the authority of someone, not just calling the name. When the church undertake missions, they are undertaking missions under the authority of Christ, the head of the church. When the apostles were interrogated for bringing the gospel in the book of Acts, you may remember, I think this was dealt with already, Peter responded in Acts 5, verse 29, saying, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, I am not saying to you that if you go someplace and the authorities tell you, don't preach, that you say we ought to obey God rather than man. You'll end up in a cell. You ought to pray that the authorities would be lenient as we go towards the gospel. Because people are ignorant. And you'll end up in jail and say they're persecuted in the name of Jesus. No, they're not. But this is the scope of the commission to the world. As you're going, wherever you're going, go with the gospel. And I give you some practical ways. Second, the substance of the commission. Having seen the scope, let's look at the substance of the our text continues, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. The substance of the commission, Brother Presley, is teaching. Not only teaching, but observing what is taught. And this is where many in our church find a problem. Men do not mind the teaching. It is the observing that creates conflict in our church here at City View. Many want to observe some and not all the things that Jesus commands. Others would want to hear some things teach or taught that God commands. But there is a volume of 66 books that articulate the gospel, the will of God. Thus, the whole counsel of God is to be taught about money, about sex, about marriage, about home, about giving. All of these things are to be taught in the Great Commission. We don't know everything, but we should endeavor to observe those things that are taught from the scriptures. The substance of any bona fide church is in its teaching ministry, not in its singing ministry, in its teaching. A good church is noted by its teaching. Go into some of them out there and see, and come back home. For many, the substance is their music program, their worship team. Others have their multimedia presentation. Paul said in Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:28. Individuals in churches who have heard the commission do not understand that we are called to respond to the commission in its substance, in what is taught from our pulpit, in the all things that the Lord has commanded. Church folk are willing to acknowledge some things that God has commanded, things that don't touch their personal lives, they're willing to observe. But the things that address their lives, they're not willing to adjust their schedule to obey all things that are taught. We are just a shade above wishy-washy. Things that they deem as untouchable. We have sacred cows. We are to be taught the scriptures, and we ought to observe the scriptures. All things must be taught and observed if we are to be genuine in our faith. So, having seen the commission under two subheads, its scope and its substance, let's look to the third subhead, the joy of the Great Commission. I can say the promise, but I don't like that, so I say the joy. And by the way, you do not have to alliterate your heads. You just have to make them sensible and appropriate. I plan to stop alliterating anyhow, because I find that people follow me when I do it. The joy of the Great Commission. The joy of the Great Commission is not that one is going. It's not that one is teaching. It is not that one is baptizing. The joy of the commission is not even seeing people observing, because that's what they're supposed to do. That's the duty of all men, to observe what is taught, as Colin said in James 1:22, that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So you see how we complement each other. The joy of the commission is, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, a little humor here. The missionary was preaching. He said he don't like to fly when he going to the mission field. And they ask him why. He said, because the Great Commission says, and lo, I will be with you always. So he preferred to stay on the ground. But he wouldn't get very far. It's not saying that. And therefore, I will be with you always. Now, this shows that the Great Commission was not limited to the apostles, because they are dead and gone. And the joy of the Great Commission, by the way, is the Savior's presence. Pastor Albert N. Martin, in Volume 3 of his series, The Man of God, His Shepherding and Evangelism, under the heading, Doing the Work of an Evangelist, said, a shepherd's heart is a deeply wounded heart, for it is a heart that beats with the longings of God's suffering servant, the man of sorrows. Ministry is painful, and when it stops hurting, we have gotten off the pastoral delivery table and are no longer saying as Paul, my little children, for whom I am in travail, till Christ be forming you. End of quote. I appreciate this from Pastor Martin about a pastor's heart. As long as the Lord's people are honoring God's word in the scope of this ministry, in the substance, the presence of our God is our joy. When Christ is formed in a person, that's our joy. That's the joy of the commission. So I have shown you the commission under three parts. Its scope, its substance, its joy. The first place the commission is practiced is in the church, because many in our church has not adhered to the Great Commission, have not obeyed the Great Commission. And that's why it is necessary to practice the Great Commission in the church first. Don't forget, Jesus said, and you should be my witnesses, beginning at Jerusalem, the church. Charity begins at home. And if you are not charitable here, don't consider anywhere else. Second, the application of the commission by the apostles. Now, in considering the application of the Great Commission, we will have to look at some portions from the book of Acts, and therefore we have to move very quickly. And the first place we ought to look is Acts 5:25. And I alluded to this, where we read, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison, after the man was healed, are standing in the temple teaching the people. This is the commission, teaching the people, standing in the temple and teaching the people. Well, they're being obedient. The apostles were doing exactly what the Lord commanded. We read in verse 27 and 28 of Acts 5. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. This is what we teach, doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, this is true. When you hear doctrine, when you hear the gospel, the Lord's blood is on you. You are guilty of his blood. It is either you believe on the Lord and be saved, or be condemned. That is why it is serious to the church. It is here Peter said we must obey God rather than man. And he wasn't arrogant. The apostles followed the Lord's command in the early days of the historical church. We read of that famous pair who were sent from Antioch in Acts 14. And since you're in Acts, you can look there, 21 and 22. We read, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, you see the two, preaching and teaching, they return again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And by the way, Antioch was the church that sent them out. And today we have men hopping from church to church for money and ain't got no home church. Where did they get that from? The apostles were sent out from Antioch and they came back to Antioch to report their mission. Accountability. It tells us confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And how about the Apostle Paul in Corinth, in Acts, since you're there, 18. I'm sure our brother is going to get to these texts. And I just waiting to hear. In Acts 18, 9 through 11. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee. Here's the great elements of the Great Commission again. I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Wait a minute. God said to Paul, I am with you, and no man shall set on you to hurt you. Yet Paul was stoned umpteen times. When he said no man should hurt you, what is he talking about? Well, he tell us, do not fear those who will kill the body, but fear him who will kill body and soul. You will be hurt. You have the Lord's presence. The Bible tells us in Acts 18:11, and he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Here is the substance of the commission by Paul the Apostle. Today many Christians do not understand this commission. They do not understand that the substance of a bona fide Bible-believing church is in its teaching ministry. Many have not applied themselves to the teaching of God's word in the church. What is the point in being a member of a reforming, I like to use the word reforming, because it is ongoing. What is the point in being a member of a reforming church if you cannot adhere to the teachings of that church? What's the point? It's better you go to a liberal, charismatic church where their substance is emotion and entertainment instead of teaching what God has commanded. Our church will never be a big church because of this teaching. But it shouldn't stop us from practicing the Great Commission. When Paul called the elders to Miletus, he said in chapter 20, verse 27, Before you get to verse 27, we read in verse 20, he said, I kept nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. This means that Paul had privy to the homes of something that people don't want you to do, to come into their homes and address their personal problems. From house to house. People don't want that today. They want to hide and practice their obeah, their witchcraft. Their bottles of water with roots or something in it. But you have to speak with love when you're addressing a congregation of witchcraft. So then we have seen this sketch of what is known as the Great Commission, its scope, its substance, its joy. We saw the application of the commission by the apostles. Lastly, we are getting there, the continuation of the commission today. The continuation of the commission today. This is the part, really, that have the most information, but I would not be able to do it. It is our part. It is here we turn to the epistles, where we read the words that I've read to you this morning. From the Apostle Paul to the servant Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Paul is repeating to this New Testament, this new covenant preacher, the commission. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The word doctrine is teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching or doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. The Joel Ecksteins, the Benny Hinns, and even some new Calvinists. And I'm not going to call them, because they're my friends. Family Radio has gone here wire. And I'm listening to some of the men they're featuring. I know some of them. Some of them got the big schools. I didn't go to them. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned to fables. The apostle charged Timothy with the same charge he received. And I charge you tonight. I told Brother Miguel, you are the future. I'm looking to you. You and Angela. You got a good personality. I like Angela. She laughed. Brother Othniel, you guys are the future. You guys in your 40s. The old guard is going out. You should look, and that's why you get more opportunities. Make use of them. Don't be afraid of the people. Preach the word. Paul charged Timothy. Timothy, as well as any pastor, is to exercise their gift in teaching and preaching. Ephesians 4 tells us this. He says, men will have an itch to hear fables. It would not surprise me if some in our church are not contemplating turning away from our church. Some may be here because of family connections, but it wouldn't surprise me if some are not contemplating leaving this church because of what is being taught. It will not surprise me the least. Sustained expository preaching is not easy to tolerate if one is unconverted and lost. It's not easy to tolerate. I don't know how some people can sit on the expository preaching. And that's why you have so much jump up around here. Band, amplifier. That's what people want. Loudspeaker. But when it comes to systematic expository going through the Bible, don't give me that. Give me Swanson's food. You heat it. You know that, Sister Elmira? Swanson, you put it in the microwave, and there you go. 10 minutes, full meal. You tell my wife, do not give me any box stuff. I don't want anything from Brother Godfrey, like box macaroni cheese. You can have that. I like to see the cheese grated, the macaroni boil, put in the oven. And when it is box, I say, this is box. Well, the soul is preaching. This is box. You get that from a book. No, get it from the Bible. You understand what I'm saying, Nigel? Preaching, teaching systematically. And I'm glad that some of you men are learning to exegete the scriptures, to take it from its context, and to work your way down to the text, to use that same text to prove your point, and stop hunting all over the Bible. Stick with your text. Expository. Whatever you want is right there in the text, in the Bible. The substance of the Great Commission is teaching men, women, boys, and girls of the Christian life in the kingdom of God. We are to be instructed in the way of righteousness. I like what Pastor Carlson, Bart Carlson, said in one of his early morning sermons recently as I was listening. He said, there is no such thing as dual citizenship in the kingdom of God. I write it down. He said it and I write it down. Our king cannot play a second fiddle. And as I was saying this morning, for some of our people, Jesus is playing second fiddle. Don't get comfortable in the church. The moment we get comfortable, we will no longer have a commission. We will cease to be useful. So when you hear, brethren, the Great Commission, take your eyes off of Zimbabwe. Place them here in your own backyard. The commission begins at home. In the local church, we are part of the all nations. We are, many of us have not adhered to the Great Commission. In fact, we have a plurality of nations represented in our church. We have people who can speak French. We have people that can speak Spanish. We have people who can speak English. We have people that can speak whatever you speak. When you get with your friends in Grenada or wherever, or Jamaica, you can't understand, only you and them. But we have multicultural in our church. So when you hear the Great Commission, look right here. The commission begins at home in the church. Our culture, our background doesn't enter the fray. We are to be taught the things that Jesus have commanded. We can't say, well, this is how I did it back. You can't say that. I'm sorry, I have another excerpt from Pastor Martin that I wanted to quote, because I've been reading a chapter on church evangelism, and where I have failed in local church evangelism. He says this to the local church: we are not all called to be preachers. We are not all given equal opportunities or comparable abilities for personal dealings with men and women who need Christ. Don't try to teach a three-point sermon to five-year-olds. Go with what you have on your paper. You hear what I'm saying? Don't try to be exegetical with Enoch and Nathaniel. Please, you need to stop that right away. Pastor Martin says, we will not all have opportunities, but we all have some evangelistic responsibility which we cannot shirk without failing to love both our God and our neighbor. To start with, we all can and should be praying for the salvation of unconverted people, particularly in our family, among our friends, and everyday associates, including those in our church, Pastor Martin said. Like I said this morning, at times, we in the church, especially some who stand in a leading profile, are guilty of not engaging in personal local church evangelism. You know just as well as I do, and I said it this morning, and here it is again in my notes. You know as well as I do, those who show signs of unconversion and coldness in this church. Yet some of you would laugh them all their way to hell to keep a friendship with them. Sometimes you are given an instruction to speak to someone, and instead of following the instruction, you twist it because it seemed harsh. That is the instruction you are supposed to give. We will rather laugh them all the way to hell than to open our mouths in an evangelistic way to them. You are defrauding your brother. And I like what Pastor Martin said. We ain't all pastors. We don't have equal opportunities. But we better be careful. Our church may be what it is because of our lack of local church evangelism. Ever so often, God shows us some deep-rooted problems and sin in our church. And some of us laugh about it. Avoid it. Don't touch it. Leave it for the bully. We need to be evangelists. Oh, this is just my first night back in our church. And some of you know what I mean. What's the sense of you going with me to Zimbabwe? Colin, you hear me. Often you heard me speaking evangelistically. Hundreds of people. But what about here? We need to be evangelists in our own way, in our own humble way. The substance of the commission is teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This means that what I am commanded to do, we also in the ministry are commanded to do as well. So may the Lord help us in this message that is titled The Great Commission and the Church. Are you one that observe some things that the Lord commands, some things that you choose? That's not what it says. If you are observing some things, then you're neglecting the command. We cannot call ourselves, or we cannot call on others to observe the Lord's command if we are observing some things that he command. Can't happen. If we are not observing those things ourselves, we can't command our children. If you're stingy with your money in giving, but God for you wasn't here for a long time, how's your giving? Oh, I wasn't there. You need to think about that. I wasn't here either. But the deacons got the record. That's a part of the commission. If we are not observing those things, we can't teach. I can't teach. We cannot stand and teach the Great Commission if we're not a part of the Great Commission. So I hope tonight you have a different light on the Great Commission. I said the Great Commission is not merely outside evangelism. It is inside evangelism. And therefore, if you are called to any particular responsibility or stewardship, you are part of that personal or public commission. So let's understand what we are saying. And let's understand what I'm saying about our church, how we would laugh some of our people straight to hell. We'll never open our mouths and says, brother, I have seen this. I've seen you slacking off, as Dr. DeStefano said about this guy. I've seen you slacking off. What is your problem? What is going on? Maybe we can talk. Maybe I can go invite you to lunch. We can sit over the table. Maybe we can talk about it. That's evangelism. You understand what I'm saying? That's local evangelism. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this commission that is extended to the church, and it is extended beyond the church. And Lord, we are coming to the warm season, the hot season, the spring months, which transitions into summer. And as we seek to go out, we pray we would not neglect to go in. And we pray that you will help us, Lord, to take care of our house, to set our house in order before we go to set another man's house in order. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.